Today's Sar B'Teves, 10th day of Teves, a day that we're fasting, we're reflecting on something that happened. Thanks. With Nebuchadnezzar putting a siege around Yerushalayim, that siege happened during the 9th year of Tzidkiyahu's rule, and ultimately 2.5 years later, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. So this was the beginning of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tav Kuf Pei that he says these are the days that a person should, it's fitting to fast. And he says on the 8th day of Teves and the 9th day of Teves, meaning 2 days ago and yesterday. Most people don't do that, but 3 days. There were 3 days of fasting. The 8th and the 9th are fitting to fast. What happened on the 8th day? Shulchan Aruch writes, on the 8th day of Teves was the day that the Torah, the written Torah, was translated into Greek by Talmai HaMelech, the king of Egypt. Talmai was under the Greek rule, but they translated the Torah into Greek. And the Masechet Sofrim writes that day was as bad as the day of the sin of the golden calf. That was a horrible thing in Jewish history, that the Torah, the written Torah, was translated into Greek. And there were 3 days, 3 gloomy days, dark days, that came from that, the 8th, 9th, and the 10th. What happened the 9th day? Shulchan Aruch says something bad happened that day as well, doesn't tell us what. The Mishnah Berurah tells us it was the day that Ezra died. Ezra, a great leader, passed away on the 9th day. That was also a day that's fitting to fast. And then the 10th day, of course, the day that the siege occurred. And that's why we're fasting today. And while it seems maybe that all 3 days are not really related, again, it was 3 days of darkness, but in the Slichos that we said this morning, it says, Halo shlashtan kavati tainis, that the day of Asar B'Teves was set because of all three of the things that were mentioned in the Slichos. Ezra dying, the Torah Shebiksav being translated. What's the connection between these three things that happened in Jewish history? So let's backtrack. The Torah Shebiksav was translated into Greek. Why is that significant? And what's the relationship to the sin of the golden calf, or such a bad day like the sin of the golden calf? The Beis HaLevi writes that when the first set of Luchos were given, all of the Torah was written down. There was no such thing as an oral Torah. But once the sin of the golden calf happened, and the first Luchos were out the window, and you'd have to have a new set of Luchos, in the second set of Luchos, there was a Torah Shebiksav and a Torah Shebal Peh, a written Torah and an oral Torah. What changed? What happened between the first Luchos and the second Luchos? Why now does there have to be an oral Torah? He explains, because with the sin of the golden calf came a decree that we are going to have to be in exile. We are no longer going to be able to be insular, keep to ourselves. We're going to be part of the other nations. And what would it be like if the Torah is out there for everyone to learn? They could go to Barnes and Nobles and buy what you want to buy and just learn. Everyone could learn together. There'd be nothing to separate us. If we lived separately and our whole existence was separate, so we're separate. Everything could be written. But now that we're going to be amongst the other nations, we need something to separate us, and that was the oral Torah. Something that would be kept to us, we give over from generation to generation. It's not something written, not something that could easily be grasped. On some level, the Torah Shebiksav also kept us separate as long as it was written in our language. Other nations would have to come to us to learn from us, to explain it to them, etc. But now that it's translated into Greek, easily accessible to anyone, so now what they learn in the public school is the same thing they learn in the yeshiva. They learn the Old Testament, they learn the book, it's translated, we're learning the same thing as they're learning, and it could create the potential for assimilation. That same thing that happened at the time of the golden calf, that now we're going to have to be part of the other nations, we're going to be in the exile with the potential danger of assimilation, now was the exact same thing that would happen, that everyone could just easily get access to the written Torah. That's what we were sad about. The 9th day, Ezra, Who was Ezra? So we don't have that much time, but in the beginning of the 10th parak of Ezra, the pasuk says, the pasuk tests, Ve'kabzu kol anshei Yehuda v'nyamin Yushalayim. He gathered everyone to Yushalayim in front of the Beis HaMikdash for 3 days, and it was raining. It was a whole event. And he started giving them mussar. And he said to them, he said, get rid of your non-Jewish wives. In the times of Ezra, people actually married non-Jews. They were assimilating. And Ezra came along and he said, enough! Get rid of it. We have to stop. And he created a whole massive tshuva movement. And it worked. Ezra was there as a pawn to help us, as a leader to help us, to make sure the assimilation doesn't occur. So on the 8th day, we were sad because now potential for assimilation happened. On the 9th day, we lost Ezra, who stopped, on some level, the assimilation. What happened on the 10th day? The siege occurred with the potential, the ultimate destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? As the Gemara tells us, 3 reasons. Gilui Arayos, Avodah Zarah, Shfichas Damim. Illicit relations, idol worship, murder. What's that about? That's pretty 3 bad stuff. That is not Judaism. That is not our moral compass. That is not what we believe in. That is not the way we're supposed to act. That is not our value system. Where did it come from? It came from being mushba, being influenced from the outside, that we could worship another god. On some level, we were assimilating. Our value system started to become that of the non-Jews. So the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th have something very, very in common. That we lost our direction. We lost who we are. We lost our insular infrastructure. This is something that even now, maybe the people in this room are not assimilating, but we always have to look inside ourselves. The way we act, the way we dress, the way we speak, what we believe in. Where does it come from? Who decided at what age our kids should have phones? Who decided what type of phones we should have in our pocket? Who decided? Where did those values come from? Were we influenced? Well, that's what everyone does. That's the way it is. So that's the way we do it as well. Is our value system assimilated? Yes, might not marry a non-Jew, but our whole belief system might be that of the non-Jews. The way we speak, the way we joke, the way we spend our vacation, the way we enjoy an oneg. What are you supposed to do at an oneg on Shabbos? Our decision of having fun and excitement, is it being influenced by the non-Jews and then we go ahead and we adapt those practices? We have to create a filter on ourselves. A wall. We have to build a wall. We have to make ourselves insular on some level because we can't totally disconnect from the outside world, so we are involved, but we have to make sure that their values are not infiltrating into us, into the way that we act, into the way we speak. That's a message for Asar B'Tavis, coming off the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. We have to think. We have to do a very, very strong Cheshbon Nefesh. Think about ourselves. Think about what we do, how we act, how we speak. Is it based on our own value system, or are we being influenced from the outside? Unfortunately, when people start losing their way, the Jews start losing their way and they start to assimilate on some level, so Hashem sends anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is there on some level to help us and to remind us who we are. We're Jews. Yeah, we thought we could just live this way and that way, and Hashem says, don't forget, you are different. You are different. That's not just supposed to scare you. It's supposed to let us reflect and say, well, we're different, so let's act different. Let's be who we're supposed to be. Don't be scared of who we are. And unfortunately, we've seen so much. Whoever's reading the news knows the amount of anti-Semitism that's going on in places that didn't really exist much before. Every day, it's sick. It's scary. So what are we supposed to do? Just say, oh, well, I'm happy I'm sitting here in the Beis Medrash. There's nothing to do with me. No. When Hashem does something, it's sending us a message. A message, one of the messages, remind us that we're Jewish. Remind us who we are. What does it mean to be Jewish? It means we speak a certain way, we act a certain way, we joke a certain way, we vacation a certain way, we eat a certain way, we dress a certain way. Everything. There's a certain way that we're supposed to act. Certain way that's supposed to be. And we have to take the message and rebuild ourselves. Build that wall around. Become more insular. Because when we don't, then the Nebuchadnezzar comes along and he builds the wall. He builds the siege. He says, here's your wall, and don't forget that you're in and you're not out. But we have to build it for ourselves. And in Eish HaTorah, during this time of year specifically, we feel it even more. Many of the people in this room don't know this. But tomorrow, on the Yud Aleph of Teves, and Yud Beis of Teves, the 11th and the 12th, were also dark days. It wasn't just the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. For us, it was the 11th and the 12th as well. Because we had a Rebbe here, Reuven Biermacher, Hashem Yakum Damam, who taught over here in the alcove, who on the 11th was leaving Eish HaTorah at 1 o'clock after he gave his shir and walked right by him 20 minutes before that, and was going home, and he was stabbed right outside of Shar Yafo. And then on that night, on the 12th, he succumbed to his wounds and unfortunately passed away. So we felt that anti-Semitism in a very, 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 very real way. And during this time, when we're supposed to be focusing on this, reflecting on this, becoming much stronger, we should do a Lila Nishmaso. We'll speak about something tomorrow night also that we'll do a Lila Nishmaso. But that should be our takeaway. One of the takeaways of our Asar B'Teves is to remind ourselves who we are and who we're not. And then Be'ezus Hashem will be Zoche, that to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Meher v'yameinu, amen.